Hi, I'm Mark Goodfellow. I'm the lead elder of Church on the Way. I want to introduce us as a church to you, who we are. I want to tell you that we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we want to make him known throughout the earth. We want to work with God the Holy Spirit as he leads us and guides us in endeavoring to do this. We want to just tell you that we're a family that works together. We're united as one. We're on a journey to fulfill the purposes of God in our life. And we encourage you, as we have this pioneering heart, to go to the nations and to preach this gospel, not only in our nation of South Africa, but the nations of the earth, to reach out with the good news that we find in Jesus Christ. So in this process, we really do believe that we are a church on the go. We're on this journey, this adventure together. We don't have all the answers, but we do know who has the answer, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So come and join us as we work together and we work on this journey to fulfill his plans and purposes for our lives. God bless you.
Oh, it's so good to be together again, and I want to share with you today. When I was in Rwanda, an opportunity to share with the churches there, God really spoke to me, and I really just sense we need to get into a series and we need to go through the book of, or the letter to the Philippians. And I've titled the series that we're starting today, and I don't know how long it's going to take, but I know God's going to speak to us through it. I've titled it The Message to the Church at Philippi. And as a form of introduction, I don't know if you know that this book to the Philippians, or the letter to the Philippians, is actually about joy. And we see right through Paul's writing to the Philippians, there's a lot of references to joy. And I do know that as we face in this time of the pandemic, and sometimes things look bleak as we're going through this trial and these tribulations, every one of us are facing something of this. God wants us to experience his joy. And I think that's why we're delving into this book. We're going to be finding something of the grace of God as we look into this. God's going to open up a dimension by the Spirit, the joy of God. So I really do believe God's wanting us to open another dimension of the Spirit of God, as we see the fruits of the Spirit is love, but also joy. It's not happiness. Happiness is dependent upon circumstances, but joy comes by God. There's an inner joy within our hearts. We might be going through tribulations, but yet we can have joy in our heart. And I just really do believe that the Lord's going to be speaking to us in a wonderful way. So I wonder if you can get your Bibles out, please, whether it's on your phone or it's a physical Bible. And I'd like you to turn to our text today. And I want to read from Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 to 2. Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 to 2. It may not seem a lot that we're going to be reading, but I'm telling you, there's a lot there that we're going to be coming out and delving into. So Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 to 2. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Other versions actually say, Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, including the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want him to get through, I know it seems a bit longer than normal, I want to get through 6 points. I want to talk about Paul, talk about his ministry, talk about Timothy, the town or city of Philippi, about being slaves of Christ Jesus, talk about the church, and about grace and peace to you. So 6 points that we're going to be dealing with. So firstly, Paul. Now, Paul, we all know the summing of a knowledge of Paul and where Paul came from, and our understanding from the scriptures that his conversion when he met the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ was on the road to Damascus. He was a man that was zealous for the Mosaic law, and he saw Christians, or the people of the way, as the book of Acts says, he saw them as something that need to be exterminated. And he got orders from the Sanhedrin, which was the highest authority under the Mosaic law in Jerusalem. And he went with these letters and to persecute. And he was at the stoning and the put into death of Stephen and he held his clothes. And so Paul was a persecutor in the flesh as a man that didn't know Christ. But yet on the road to Damascus, as he was traveling to go and persecute the church in Damascus, the resurrected Christ met him and declared to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And that was part of his conversion. And we're going to just delve into his life and see how God actually worked in his life, where he was a persecutor and caused suffering to Christ, the body of Christ, how God used trials and tribulations in his life to reveal the inner Christ in him. So who was Paul? And Philippians chapter 3, verses 5 to 6 tells us more about that. He was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, but of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee, that was one that studied the law. In effect, it was like being an attorney or a lawyer today, understanding the Mosaic law. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As I said, he persecuted the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. So he fulfilled all the requirements that the Mosaic law, so he says. So here was Paul, born as a Hebrew. We hear that he's from Tarsus in Sicilia. He was from a devout Jewish family based in Tarsus. And Tarsus is near Antioch, now modern-day Turkey. His father was Greek and his mother was Jewish. They say from his mother's side was a lineage of being Pharisees. We understand also that his mother came to know Christ and was a believer. I don't know when, we don't know the timing of that. And then Paul, because he lived in Tarsus, he was a Roman citizen. That was part of the Roman Empire at that time. So he had citizenship of Rome, which was an important thing, as we see that Paul's life was worked out. But yet Paul's name, if we see in the book of Acts that his name, Jesus called him Saul, but we know him as Paul. But we see in the context, because it was under the Roman Empire, the Latin name for Saul was Paul. The Greek name was Paulus. So we see that at this time under the Roman Empire, because yet he was known as in Hebrew as Saul, they adopted the Roman name. And we see him known as Paul, the Latin name, rather than the Hebrew name Saul. And we've seen that even in South Africa, many of our African folk have also adopted an English name where the African name is very different. And it seems the same thing with Paul. So it wasn't a renaming, but it was actually in context of living under the Roman Empire. We see also with Paul that he was a man that had another skill. He wasn't just an attorney. And I think they were very wise in those days that they gave him a practical skill. So not just to learning about the law, there were two skills that they were gained. And maybe we need to do that even today, that we need to have a natural skill that we can work out rather than an academic skill. We need one that can be practical. So he was a craftsman also. He worked in leather and he worked in tent making. And we see that later in his life, that as he was ministering, God actually used him with tent making skill to provide for his needs and to provide for the needs of others. Then Paul, and as a one that lived in that time, spoke three languages. He spoke Hebrew, but then also he spoke the Greek of the day, which the Bible is written in, the New Testament is written in, and the Septuagint, which was written in the 3rd century BC, the translation of the Old Testament, and Latin. So he was conversant in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. And then Jesus actually gets him to a place and calls him to be an apostle. And what do we understand about apostle? Apostle is actually from the Roman Empire. And when the Romans were colonizing, their apostolic mandate was to actually go and duplicate Rome wherever they found themselves. And they were very clever, is that they took the laws and the culture of Rome and the ceremonies and everything of Rome, and they placed it in right through the empire. And that was apostolic. As they went out, they went to go and to establish another kingdom. But Jesus called him to be an apostle, but apostle of the kingdom of God. And wherever he went and he preached Christ, and he advanced the kingdom of God wherever he went, and allowed the Lord Jesus to be the new king. And that was a lot of persecution came when there was another king apart from Caesar, who was in charge of the Roman Empire. Yeah, in Acts chapter 9, verses 15 to 16, it says that the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry the name before Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show you how much he must suffer for my name's sake." So that was Paul, and understanding the background of Paul. His message. Now, this is a very important point, is that Paul never walked with Jesus. He knew about the way, so he wasn't one of his disciples or apostles. As we said, he became to a place that he met the Lord, the resurrected Lord, in a vision on the Damascus Road, and came to know the Lord and believed upon him and got filled with the Holy Spirit. But it says in Galatians, this is one of the earliest books that he wrote, that in chapter 1, verses 11 to 16, I would you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. So it wasn't revealed by man. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was the traditions of my fathers. But when he who had set me apart before I was born had called me by his grace, he was pleased to reveal his son in me, in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately consult with anyone. And in Galatians 1, chapter 1, verses 20-24, and I was still unknown in person to the churches in Judea that are in Christ, that were only hearing said that he used to persecute us, now is preaching faith he once tried to destroy, and they glorified God because of me. So important, I just want you to understand that there was something that God did special in Paul's life. So he wasn't exposed to the teachings of Jesus. Yes, later he was through Luke and all that was taking place. But there was something that transpired in his walk with God, and we will get into the details of that, is that there was something, as the scripture says here, God was pleased to reveal his son in me. There was a something of understanding Christ in him. And if you start to read in the book of Acts, and especially when Paul goes back to the church in Jerusalem, is that the Jewish believers that came to know him, the many Jewish believers, they believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were born again with no doubt. But the way they continued the outworking of their lives was to fall back into the Mosaic law. And they started to fall into the traditions of the Mosaic principles. And then we see that the church in Jerusalem was still practicing circumcision. And that became a major problem in Paul's ministry at that time, even with Peter, that the practice of the Mosaic law needed to fall away, because we follow in the new covenant as we follow into living Christ. So Paul's gospel of Christ, even though he was a Pharisee, knowing the law of Moses, was contrary to that. He would say that God built on the Mosaic law to take us into the new covenant. So his message was still Christ, but a living in Christ. So it was the evidence of being born again, but from there, moving on and living in Christ and Christ living in him. So in a sense, Paul's message to the Gentiles wasn't necessarily the same message that was preached to the Jews, because we see the message to the Jews was a lot, which I do believe is we need to repent and all those things, but they never understood what it is to live in Christ. And that was only later, when the whole thing was formulated, how the Holy Spirit actually worked through the churches, brought us to understanding in Christ. So what does this mean to us as we look at the life of Paul? Here was Paul born in that time around Jesus, just after Jesus was born. He was born too. But here Paul was used for a specific purpose. So God predestined him for these things. Even though his life went on a course, God changed the course of his life. So your name is very important to God. It says in the scriptures that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Very, very important. We need to know that even though your parents named your name, something of God is in that and the outworking of that. So your name is important to God. The places where we live, Paul lived in Tarsus. Here we live in Johannesburg, South Africa, the exact place in the exact time we are experiencing at this point in time. You need to know that God predestined you and allowed you to live at this time. The language we speak, the different languages that we speak and we comprehend, whatever our home language is, whatever the language we converse in, God allowed that to take place. The ethnic race that we belong to, we didn't predetermine these things. God planned these things. So God has placed us who we are at this time, and we need to settle that, and we need to settle in hearts our names, our places, our times where we actually live in, that God is predestined for that, and we need to understand that out of that, He called us to Himself to outwork Christ in our lives. Now, the important thing, as we see that transpires in Paul's life, you need to come to understanding of the gospel of Christ. And that's what I really believe, as we study in the Word of God, and the Word of God is coming into our lives, is that we're gonna find Christ, and we're gonna find the living Christ working in us. So I want to just tell you my journey too has been walking with the Lord for many years, is the outworking, yes, knowing that I'm born again, know that I'm a child of God, but this gospel of Christ is a continual discovery to know Christ and to know the knowledge of Him in me and outworking through me. And I want to just say this is a journey that we all on, as we are His church, as we're going forward in that. So the next point is, how did God transpose Paul's life? And we just see there was a journey that God placed Paul on. It wasn't an immediate process. It was a process. It was a journey to work out an understanding of who Christ is. And we see initially in Damascus, he was being persecuted. He had to run for his life. He went away in a time of meditation. The Bible says he went to Arabia. They suppose he went to Mount Sinai. Then he went to Jerusalem and he met with the church at that time, but then wasn't there for very long. And then he went into a place that says 14 years, and then God had to speak to him. So there was times of meditation. There was times it seemed like he was even lost. Barnabas actually went to go and fetch him back in Tarsus. He went back to Tarsus and brought him back to Antioch. And there he was with the church in Antioch. And it was then that his outworking of his apostolic ministry, because it says then he was a teacher, he wasn't an apostle. But in Acts chapter 13, as the church was worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart Barnabas and Saul for the purpose that I had for them. Then he became into his apostolic ministry. And then we see from there how the Holy Spirit actually led them into the outworking of ministry into the different regions. Now, out of that ministry of into the different regions, Paul found out and going to Philippi. So in the beginning of that scripture, it says it's Paul and Timothy. Now, important, God works in team. He doesn't work with, in a sense, with lone rangers. He wants us to be part of the family, excuse me, and he wants us to work in team. So who was Timothy? Timothy was a young man that Paul met on his second missionary journey. As I said earlier, he was had a Greek father and a Jewish mother. The scripture tells us he was a son in the faith to Paul. And we understand from Timothy, as we said about the living stones, he was very different to Paul. Paul seems out of the process, even though Barnabas and Saul were sent out, Paul became the orator. He had a strength of speaking and to converse enough. I believe he was a very intelligent man and could work things out. So he had this gift of speaking. But here we see with Timothy, he was timid. He seemed to step back and an introvert, as we would know today. He seemed to have physical ailments, he had stomach ailments, but yet Paul worked with him as a son and encouraged him and brought him through. And eventually, they tell us in church history, eventually he became the lead elder of the church in Ephesus. But in this portion of scripture, it seems Paul says there that Paul and Timothy, that he was co-authored with Timothy. Now, we don't understand clearly, but it seems like Timothy maybe was his secretary or his administrator. And it seems when Paul wrote these letters to the churches that he would dictate and that Timothy would be writing these things down. And that's how we got this letter. So the next point is we look at Philippi. Now, Philippi is based in the Mediterranean. I unfortunately can't give you a map at this point in time, but around the Aegean Sea, around Greece, around modern-day Turkey, just north of the Aegean Sea, there's the town of Philippi. And Philippi is not a seaport. It's about 10 miles in from the sea. But there it is. This letter was written to the church at Philippi. The letter was written around AD 62, about 10 years after the church was planted. And what is the significance of Philippi? It was on the Ignatian Way, we understand that the Romans were very good as they connected places together. They built roads, and very important for communication. And Philippi was on the road between the east and the west. They had to go above Greece and to flow through to Asia at that time. And it was in between the sea and the mountains. So it was an important trade route to go through. Also, Philippi was a Roman colony. And what did the Romans do? As I spoke earlier, they settled colonies. And Philippi as a place was settled by the Romans. And how they used to do it is they used to take veteran soldiers and their families when they were retired, and they would resettle them in a place. And then what they would do is they would get that Roman settlement to be resembling Rome. They used to call it Pax Romana, where the Roman peace would be. So what happened to Philippi? It was not governed by Rome, but yet it had self-rule. And one of the privileges of being a Roman colony, they did not pay tax to Rome, but they paid tax into the city. And also, if you were born in that place, you would become a Roman citizen. Same as Paul in Tarsus, that was also a Roman colony and landed up becoming a Roman citizen. So what would happen? They would actually not impose, but they would bring in Roman dress, the customs, the ceremonies, the whole legal system of Roman law. So important. Why is Philippi so important? And we see in Acts chapter 16, verses 6 to 10. I want to just quickly read it to you. And this is Paul on his journey and being led by the Spirit of God. And as they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia, when they came up to Mysia, they attempted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging them and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, he immediately sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called him to preach this gospel to them. And what is that? This is the Holy Spirit leading and God's heart for Europe. And this was the start of God saying, let's not go to Asia yet. Let's go to Europe. And of the first church that actually went into, in a sense, modern day Europe, that is there today, that was planted as Paul went there to go and preach the gospel there. Importantly, Paul's methodology of what he did when he went to actually go and preach, there was a diaspora of the Jews throughout the region. When they were persecuted, they left that place and they would go into the region. And when the Jews got together, they would form a synagogue. So the rule that Judaism actually had, there had to be 10 male Jews to formulate a synagogue. We see in Philippi, there was no synagogue. And so Paul on the Sabbath, he went looking, where are Jews? And what Jews, if there was no synagogue, they would meet by the river and they would be praying there. And there at the river, he found Lydia and they were praying. And that was the start when God opened her heart to Paul and to the message of the gospel, that she came to know Christ. And that was the start of the church there. But Philippi wasn't a place where it went easy for Paul. In that process, yes, Lydia came to know the Lord, but there was witchcraft that was taking place. There was a girl that was caught up in fortune telling, was controlled by an evil spirit. And when they were going down to pray, this girl would walk past and just saying that they are showing you the way to the Most High God. Now, interesting in that, just as a buyer, is that she was fortune telling, she was telling the truth. So sometimes the devil can be telling the truth and you'll never know the truth. That's why false prophets are so important. They can be talking the truth, but they can be leading you astray. But yet what actually happened, there's something stirred in Paul's heart and he turned to that evil spirit and he cast that evil spirit out. And what actually happened is that the devil left that girl and she was set free. The Bible doesn't tell us whether she came to know Christ, but she was set free from that evil spirit. But the owners that were making money of that actually started to persecute Paul, and they landed up in jail and they were beaten and they were in the stocks, a terrible place to be. But yet at midnight, Paul and Silas were actually worshiping the Lord, and there was an earthquake and a miracle took place and they were set free. And the Philippian jailer was going to kill himself, and Paul said, no, don't worry, we're all safe. And then they came to know the Lord as their savior. So that was the birth of the church led by the Holy Spirit, into that place, confronting evil, being persecuted. There was a birth of a church that took place, and that was the early church. And through that process, Paul and them were asked by the authorities to leave. And this letter is written from Rome when Paul was in prison, and again back to these Philippian Christians. My understanding from the scriptures here is that there was a strong bond between Paul and the people here. This letter is not written with context of any error. It was really encouraging. It was back about joy. We would just see the Philippian Christians actually loved Paul, and they contributed much to his ministry, always sending gifts to him. They loved him dearly, and he loved them. So this was really a letter of encouragement. So I want to just understand from this, here the Holy Spirit broke into Paul's life and brought him to a place to move into the Macedonian region and to be in a place where he could preach the gospel. And I want to just say, God is still in control of our lives in our leading today. The Holy Spirit is sent to lead us and to guide us into truth, but also the places where we would go. So I want to encourage you, as you commit your ways to the Lord, you can go to the left and to the right, but let the Holy Spirit guide you and lead you. Sometimes he closes the door. Sometimes he opens the door. We don't always understand, but let's be led by the Spirit of God. I know our own heart in the planting of Church on the Way. Initially, we really sensed that New Zealand was the place, and even physically, everything opened up in New Zealand for us to go and plant there. But when the Holy Spirit actually spoke, he spoke to me very clearly to go back to your Jerusalem. Then out of that, God worked out to the opening of planting in Modderfontein. And we're just so thankful to God that as we've been obedient to him, it's opened up something else for what God is. We would never be working to this context here. We would never be relating to you. And I would never be working into Central Africa, into the Great Lakes region. So let's be obedient to the Spirit of God. The next point is that as we read the scripture, it says here that Paul and Timothy were servants of Christ Jesus. As I said, the other versions actually say bond servants and slaves. Now, very important, in the time of the first century, slavery was a reality. Slaves worked it wasn't domestic workers, it was slaves. And you bought a slave, and there was a whole bunch of rules around that. So some of the masters were good and some were bad. But yeah, Paul says that we are slaves of Christ Jesus. And, you know, to become a slave of Christ Jesus is not something imposed upon you. It's something that you've got to invite. Jesus would never do that. He will never bring you into slavery. But this is a self-imposition. And what does slavery mean? You understand who your master is. Your master is Christ Jesus, that he's good, that he's benevolent. He's not malevolent, not bad. But you impose yourself to become a slave of Christ. And the heart of a slave is to be obedient. And I think that's a key thing. And I want to just say, this is a challenge to the modern day church. We don't understand this aspect of giving our lives and living sacrificial lives. So often we enslave ourselves to our own will. We enslave ourselves to our selfishness, to what we want. And unfortunately, sometimes the gospel that has been preached to us is a me gospel, it's an I gospel, and that brings selfishness out. And I want to just say is we've got to get to a place where we lay down I and we come to a place of humility and actually get into a place of becoming a slave of God. You see, when we don't become slaves of Christ and obedient to him, we can become slaves of anything else that we are following. It becomes another God, it becomes an idol, and I want to just say that's very important. Another point about this is that Paul says they're slaves of Christ Jesus. They're not slaves of the church, even though we're in the church and we love the church and we serve the church. We're not slaves of the leaders of the church. We're not slaves of any structure. We're not slaves of anything else but Christ Jesus. We are free, but we are enslaved to Christ because he's benevolent. Christ even did this himself. He was an example to us in Philippians 2, verse 7. But he emptied himself and taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. So I really want to encourage you as you walk with Christ. Yes, we are children of God, but there is this transformation and this renewal that needs to take place. And as we grow into maturity in Christ, there's something of laying down our self-will, of allowing ourselves to be humble and to become servants and bond servants and slaves of Christ. I just know this pleases the Lord when we actually humble ourselves before Him and allow Him to go forward in that. And the next point is the church. And we see in Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it says, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and the deacons. I said earlier in a message some time ago, the scripture tells us very clearly that where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Truth, absolute truth. But that does not constitute the church, the ecclesia. What does ecclesia mean? It's those who belong to Christ, God's people, the called out ones. What does the church constitute? Remember, the church is a structure under Christ. It's His body, and there's got to be order. There's got to be an outworking of His life. And that's why we see in the structure of the church, as Paul says here, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and the deacons. So we understand what overseers mean. It's with the elders and the deacons. So there's leadership and there's servant, there's model servanthood in the life of the church. But importantly, I want to say to you, Paul says to all the saints in Christ Jesus. Now, what are saints? And you know, saints comes from the Old Testament. It was a term that was used, but brought forward into the New Testament. It's not religion. It's not saint this, saint that, saint this, or the road is saint this. It's something special that God has performed. It's been separated. It's been separated as Israel was separated unto God. That's why they were called saints also. But we are separated unto Christ, and we are made holy in Christ. It's when you believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and He becomes your Lord and your Savior, and He comes to live inside of you, you become a saint. God sees you as a saint. Why? Because you've been made holy in Christ. Not because of what you've done or what you're going to do, but because who you are in Christ. So there are two types of people in the world. There are saints and there are ain'ts. And people who do not believe in Christ ain't have the living Christ within them. And I want to really encourage you, we are first saints in all that we do, even in whatever role that we actually have, we are first saints. So again, we come to the overseers, are very important in the life of the church. There needs to be a leadership structure. And as the scripture tells us, as through Paul, the structure that God overseers, another word is bishops, as elders in the life of the church. So please don't call me bishop, but I do see myself as Mark, an elder. I'm not called by pastor. I think the very important thing where the church has gone very wrong, that they've entitled men to be in a place with a title to say pastor. That is not the case. It's more the role. And I want to encourage us to do that. So I want to just say that Paul identified the church that was gathered there. Doesn't matter the size of it, but there were saints. But I wanted you to see this in Christ Jesus, not in a denomination, not in a structure, not in a name, not in a name of a person, but in Christ Jesus. The church is in Christ. It's his living body. And that's what we got to ensure, that we continue to go forward, that the church stands together. And as the church stands together, so the danger that we have today is that many people are following Christ and they have a message and they run off and they gather a whole bunch of people around them to actually listen to their message, and they're not under authority. It's a danger place because it's not the church, because that's when the false prophets come. That's when the wrong doctrines actually come. Not the church is perfect, but that's where we need to have elders, we need to have deacons, and we need to have saints gathered together as the living church. Now, an important thing also I want to say is that when you live a me, myself, I, you do not love the church. And I want to just say to you is that you can love Jesus, but you need to love His church, because that is His body. And many people will sacrifice their lives for causes, and even for seemingly for the Lord, but for His body, His church. And I'm not talking about the structure and the organization and the meetings and all that, but for the church, would love the church, the people of the church, the ecclesia. And I want to encourage you, if you're going to grow in the maturity of Christ, you're going to love the Lord, but you need to love His church, His people. They are not always the people that you expect them to be. God calls us out of darkness into light, and there's a transformation that takes place. And we've got to learn to love them, and we've got to bring them through So do you love the church? Very, very important. And lastly, to encourage you, in the end of that, there's a greeting that Paul gives. Grace and peace to you. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, Paul gets to the nitty-gritty of the gospel, is that it's a relationship with God our Father. So you've come to Christ. You've come to know him as Lord and Savior. But now you've come to know God our Father. And out of that living relationship with your Lord and with your Father, your Heavenly Father, who've come to dwell inside of you, as the scripture tells us that they've come to make their home within you, and you work out a living relationship, the byproduct or the product, I wouldn't say the byproduct, but the product of a relationship with God is grace and peace. Now, grace is God's undeserved help in our lives, and we all need the grace. You know, if you do it in your own strength, well, you're going to do it in your own strength. But if you do it in the grace of God, you're going to have God's help, excuse me, and it's going to be a supernatural outworking in God's life, in your life. So I really want to encourage you, build your relationship up with God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, and experience the grace and the peace. You cannot have grace and not have peace. The two are so important. When we were in Rwanda now, just very important, we were just getting feedback from some of the men and what's happening in the life of the churches. And, you know, the circumstances weren't great. There's poverty, people are really battling, the people, because of this lockdown and that, people are struggling. But they kept coming back and they kept saying, no, there's peace in my home, there's peace in the church. There's an outworking of God's supernatural peace. And that is key. You need to be walking in the grace of God and the peace of God. And we'll see later in Romans that God wants that to guard our hearts and our in Galatians, Philippians, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. So as an introduction to the book of Philippians, we're going to find this joy of serving our Lord, of walking with him and going forward with him. So we're at the place now, as you've been watching on YouTube now, maybe you're in a place, and as you've been hearing me talking about Paul meeting the resurrected Christ and us having a relationship with God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe you're in a place today that you've never met and never come to know the Lord Jesus. You may be attending church and you might be been doing the right things, but in your heart of hearts, you've never met the living Jesus. And I wanted to say he wants to invite you to be part of his family, to be part of his church, to be a saint, to be those and to take on your name to Britain in the Lamb's Book of Life. If that's you today, I'd like you to respond, not to me, but to him, because he's calling you to himself. And if you're in that place, and maybe you want to even recommit your life to the Lord, will you say up to me today, Lord Jesus, I see you as Lord and Savior. And I say to you today, will you become my Lord and Savior? And will you come and live in my life? And allow me to live through you? And will you wash me and cleanse me from all my sins and enable me to live this abundant life that you've called me to live in you? Teach me your ways, Holy Spirit. Fill me with your Spirit and enable me, Lord, to glorify you the rest of my days now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, everyone. It's been so good to be with you online. I pray that you've been encouraged. I pray as you go into this day that you'll be blessed, that the word of God would have enriched you and that you would go forward in the fullness of his grace. I'd like to just pray a blessing over you today. Father, as we find ourselves in this time of lockdown, but we're not locked down, the word of God is not locked down. It is free and liberating. And I pray, Lord, as we've heard the word of God, as we meditate on the word of God, may our lives continue to be renewed and transformed as we follow you now. So, Lord, bless us today as we go our separate ways, as we do what you've called us to do. May we not waste time. May we use our time effectively. Give us opportunities to witness for Christ. May we reach out and touch many people in this season. Lord, we are not confined because the word is not confined. So we go forward in you now in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. We appreciate you. Go and have a great day. Lots of love. Bye.